What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the 103rd edition of the Tuesday Track Talk podcast. Number 103 for the amount of fantasy points our tire changer scored in fantasy football this past weekend. So, taking a big L.
Wow.
But anyways, I'm your gas man, Cam.
I'm your Jack man, Kel.
I'm the aforementioned tire changer, Cam.
Who is still on probation. And we got another jam-packed episode here for you, talking a lot of asphalt racing. We talked a little bit of the Winchester 400 Cup Series at Vegas, and then we're going to have boots on the ground for a big one this upcoming weekend here in the Midwest at Dells Raceway Park. So a lot to discuss, heavy in the news as well, but before we dive into some racing here, just do a quick check in on how the boys have been.
Other than the whooping in fantasy football this week, good. Brewers are hot right now. They play again tonight as we record here on Tuesday night. Down 1-0 in the series right now, but it's showing some life there at the end of the game. So we'll see how that goes. But looking forward to this weekend. Otherwise, yeah, we'll be boots on the ground on one day, but we'll also be racing hopefully on Sunday as well.
Yeah, no, it'd be fun. Hopefully Dells on Saturday and then Angel Park on Sunday if all goes well. And then, I mean, we got the Badger football program too. They're as hot as ever too. So
yeah, it's I spent a couple of my own hard-earned bucks to literally go to that stadium and leave with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So be honest, I think I'm going to spend more money and keep going because I think we're going to be paying about $25 million to buy out this coach's contract. So if I can help support that cause in any way, and if that is by attending games, I guess we're lining up a game to get the boys to go. Unfortunately, Mangrove is going to be boots on the ground racing. But, yeah, it's we're going to chip in and then buy some tickets and do our part, $38 at a time. goes to show where this program's at, where you can get into Camp Randall for what should be a good game with a ranked team, and you're buying tickets for $38. So,
I was looking today at that same section for the Illinois games. If you really want to go to the Illinois game, they're $24 a piece.
What game were you looking at originally?
The Washington game on November 8th.
Oh,
the Illinois game is the 20th. No, what is it?
22nd.
No, 21st. 21st. You can get tickets for that one for $22. So if you're around for that one, if you want to go to that one, I'll go.
Tentatively, I might be, actually. We'll see.
But anyhow. Well,
depending on what kind of interest we could garner up, we could do Friday's a little shindig wedding. The 21st, everybody will be in the area. Saturday the 22nd would be the Illinois game. So,
and then depending on the Packer game on the 23rd.
Oh, Jesus.
So, depending on, yeah. Anyways, it's a sad state of affairs, needless to say. Yeah, I don't know how we found ourselves in this position and how it got this bad this quick, but wow, it is. It ain't good.
No.
Dude, there were so many Iowa fans there, it was bad. Just, yeah. Anyways, sad state of affairs, but let's talk some racing. Let's talk something else because that's getting pretty sad to talk about. Nothing real positive coming out of that. But let's talk Winchester 400. Big one out there. And we had one of the Midwest's best out there in Ty Majeski. And leave it to him to find himself in victory lane. But I'll kick to you guys. Didn't get to see a ton of the race. Just see what your thoughts were, where you guys want to start.
Real quick, something that I just noticed. We talked about earlier guys on this Platinum program that have not run the entire year. Obviously, Bo Pollard, he didn't run a couple of races before. Obviously, he's got his hand injury now, so he's up because of that. I didn't realize Austin Nason was another one of them guys that didn't start this Winchester 400.
Yeah, he had motor problems, and they packed up and bailed out. I did catch that on the broadcast. Yeah, he had ended up having motor problems, and then they just pulled out.
All right.
So, yeah. Unfortunately.
Just side note on that I noticed, but
yeah.
And hey, we're talking about, you know, he low-key snuck that news, and this was his last year race, and so we'll still see him at the track, but full-time. We are winding down on the last we'll see him. I shouldn't say ever, but full-time. He'll still show up to some big shows, but tough break for him as he's wrapping up his last full-time year doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you look at the storylines, it really just comes down to the fact that the 91 was just that damn good.
Yeah.
We talk about one somber Wisconsin sports scene, and we can turn around and we can flex a little bit with this one because he led 350 to 400 laps.
Yeah.
You want to talk about putting the belt to the field. I mean,
he led the first 157 laps. Butcher took over, led almost 50. Then yeah. Majeski went and led the next 130 laps. Blake Rowe tried to flip it a little bit and led three laps before Majeski took over with 60 to go and just.
Yep. Yep.
For a reason, he was runner-up in last year, but one of the notable crown jewel races that he hadn't won before.
Yep.
And one that Wisconsin driver has never won.
Yeah, first Wisconsin driver to win that race, so that's also cool.
That's just because this race was always run the same weekend of Oktoberfest.
Yep.
Traditionally.
Yeah. So not only to get the first Wisconsin winner, but also to just outright dominate that race, start to finish. I mean, qualified on pole and just set sail. It really was going to be his to lose, even with their little mishap at the end of the race there.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, I guess, can we talk about this guy that made me so mad?
Are you talking about that red flag wreck?
No, the beer can.
Oh, the beer can. Yeah. Well, so like that was a very clean race. Let's start with that. Right.
Yeah.
Not many wrecks. We had the one over in 24 that, you know, we had our interpretation of that as well.
Yep.
With Francis. But yeah, otherwise you had the couple of cautions for the stage breaks. There was a spin here and there or a slow car here and there, but it was a fairly clean race. And then that gets disrupted by, I mean, there's no sugarcoating it, a dumb fan.
Correct.
Right?
But threw a beer can onto the live racetrack.
Which, I mean, there's many ways you can interpret it. One, why would you throw a full beer can on the racetrack? That's alcohol abuse, for one. But then, yeah, it's just you disturb the race.
Yeah.
Who knows what could have damaged it, could have done.
That's what I said. If you're pulling yourself a hooder on a windshield, like that's
Go through
fall.
a radiator? Like,
Yeah, of course. And take it for what it's worth. If Majeski turns around and loses that race because of that caution,
oh.
I cannot tell you how livid pissed I'd have been.
Yep,
Then you
absolutely.
start to wonder, okay, so who's up there and what went on that they decided to do that?
Right. Yeah, what was the reasoning behind it? Obviously, Sargeant made it well known that he was not happy, went out there himself to get the said fan. It's a good way to be banned, one, from the racetrack, probably forever. Two, probably not going to be able to attend any other ASA races.
I was gonna. You took the words out of my mouth. The next conversation is show me an RED because you're not coming back to any national tour races. Sayonara. So I don't know. That was the one that ending. That like obviously Majeski was able to hang on, but
That could
that.
have set it up for something, a
Well, it just
completely different story.
it opens the door for him to get run over.
Yep.
When you got a second and. He had a 1.3 second lead or something. Just he was kind of setting sail, and it opened the door for. And we've seen traditionally how this race has gone with late race restarts and guys running each other up the track and wrecking equipment, right? Like
Yep.
you just sit there and go, "All right, well, here we go, I guess." So, yeah, I don't know. That was the part that I'm like, if he loses this race because of that. Crap, I was going to be so pissed.
Yep.
But ultimately was able to hang on. So, yeah.
Obviously, this race was a race of attrition as well. Winchester's tough on equipment. Ended up having 15 cars finish the race running. You had some cars that were a handful of laps down or several laps down, but nonetheless, cars finished. Jesse Bernhagen, notably. First time running down there. I think really one of the first times he's ran out of the state. Just kind of played the attrition game and ended up bringing home 14th with a car in one piece.
Yep,
Which I
for
think
sure.
for us was a surprise to see him
Oh,
even enter that race.
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Steven Assey strong again as ever. Cole Butcher, I mean, ASA race, you'd know he's going to be tough. He had that stint where he led a little bit, but otherwise just kind of hung around second, third.
Dawson Sutton had another good car again.
Yep, Sutton was good.
That program has kind of come out of late. You won that race that last ASA Stars National Tour race. He won that race, and that group has kind of found something with that car that they're figuring out what either he likes or what the car needs. So
Yep.
they found some speed of late.
And for a guy that's obviously running the full truck season as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Tough luck for Derek Thorne. Not, just again, knows it's going to be a race winning type of deal, but he was going to have a decent run and has suspension issues. Bushell, strong all year. He had his issues as well. I got to bring him up, but Kraus just struggled.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it really was the 91 show. Really, no other way to put
Most notably, teamed up with Hind on that deal too, which
it.
obviously he ran a Majeski car or a Toby car here up here at Oktoberfest past handful of years, and that's that favor paying off again.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Ends up collecting his rifle that he's been looking for.
Yep.
So. No, all in all, a good race. Absolute marathon of a super late model race. 400
Oh.
laps around that place is insane.
Time of race was 2 hours and 46 minutes.
Yeah. That 400 lapper, that baby is an absolute marathon in terms of super late model race and length.
Yeah.
So.
Still waiting on point standings to be updated. But I would be pretty safe to say that Cole Butcher extends his points lead going into what will be the final race of the year. So.
Yeah, he's mathematically clinched the title already.
Oh, he has.
Yep. They said that on the broadcast.
Gotcha.
Yep. He clinched both that and the CRA.
I saw he had the CRA championship.
Yep, they did say that he mathematically clinched ASA Stars National Tour.
Gotcha.
So he gets the driver championship, and obviously Donnie Wilson will win the
Owners.
owner side of things.
Yep.
So, want to run through the finishing order really quick? Maybe top 10 or so.
Yeah, I had it and then I got rid of it. Let me bring it back up here real quick.
I you were kind of bumming through there, so I'm like, ah, oh, he's got to pull
Yeah.
up over there.
Yeah, so the aforementioned Majeski first, started from the pole as well. Dawson Sutton finished second, Cole Butcher third. Billy Van Meter kind of hit or miss as far as running this year, but Billy Van Meter finishes fourth. Steven Assey, Loves Winchester, finished fifth. Carson Brown sixth. Kyle Steckley seventh. Blake Rowe eighth. George Phillips ninth, and Casey Klein rounds out the top 10 for that one. Eight cars finished on lead lap.
Kind of tells you the pace that that 91 had.
And he put on a pace early. He was lapping cars early.
Yeah, he
That's
made
somebody that when he's putting that kind of pace down, I mean, he is lapping cars pretty early. I mean, 40 laps in, he had our good buddy Kraus a lap down. And when he's putting a pace down like that, it's he's not
scary.
burning his stuff up either. Yeah,
No.
he's taking care of his stuff early in the race, and when he's got a pace going like that, and you know he's not burning his stuff up, it is look out.
Yep.
For sure.
So yeah, ultimately, one of the positives in the state of Wisconsin right now is hanging our hat on Ty Majeski. Ultimately, he gets the win there, gets the elusive rifle he's been chasing, and adds another one to the trophy case. There isn't a whole lot of races that that man hasn't won. We touched on it last week, just the kind of career and legacy that that man can have in a super late model. And so he nabs another big one, and the dominance just continues for him. So any other final thoughts on the Winchester 400?
Oh, good race, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Guess we can say that
Good.
after you did a little nagging.
Yeah. Let's go out to the Wild West. And we had a cup race at Viva Las Vegas. No shortage of storylines here. We can start with major playoff implications by the 24 camp. We can start asking the question, is this really the year? Where do you guys want to start?
Well, I mean, if you're talking playoff implications, we can even go back farther than that. Blaney blows that tire early in the race and ends his day.
Yeah, that car was wrecked.
I mean, that, yeah.
Come on, you got to feel good though. We're going to a super speedway, which means he either wins or nearly dies.
Well,
And
correct.
then
Then
we were
Martinsville,
going to
he's won 2 years
Martinsville.
in a row.
And I was gonna say, old buddy's a wagon when it comes to Martinsville in the round of
I
eight.
just don't like the fact that he's got to win. Like that put him in a must-win situation.
110% did.
Unfortunately.
He's got himself in a corner now.
So, and none of his own doing, obviously, but
Right.
still, it's just, man,
Yeah.
what a tough spot to be in.
I mean, this was
He was the fourth.
let's talk race. And then I got, as we always do, I got some follow up to discuss on the playoff standings side of things. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit race first.
I got my first one for you. The racing product that place put on proved that Vegas could be a part of the championship rotation.
I get your point there, but and this was a race that, and the point that I wanted to bring up was that this was a race that, aside from the Blaney deal and the Byron deal, pretty much was green flag racing.
Yep, and it all came down to strategy. Are you going to pit early or run long?
Yep.
Or are you going to play follow the leader?
Yep, and take advantage of the stage breaks when they played out as well, too. So,
Correct.
did you guys like that or no?
Yep.
yeah, I mean it takes the chaos that cautions can bring out of the equation, and it puts it purely on the teams and what kind of a setup you brought.
I like that.
I think I got to see more in order for it to be a championship race. I think it's a good, depending on how this playoff format goes out in the future, I think this is a good semi championship round.
You're liking it. You're not. You,
I like it where it's at.
you're a love it, not you're a like it, not love it guy.
Correct. I like it where it's at.
I mean, I was thoroughly entertained. I do have to say, I think the NBC broadcast, it just made the way the race played out, they just made it seem so much more thrilling.
So I'm gonna put it's I'm glad you brought that up. I'm gonna put Cam in a little bit of a corner here. Because he was poking fun at our Australian or New Zealand pal of Lee Diffie here
Yep.
when he first came on the broadcast. What's he thinking now about our pal?
I mean, he's good. I mean, he does a good job making what I would feel like every week stuff. He does a good job making it feel like it's a massive deal, which is what you want. I can tell you one thing, he has put himself way in front of the Fox crew, which that's setting the bar pretty low. You can just step over that bar. But no, I think he's done a good job. I think I would say he's doing exactly what you need him to do. He's not making it worse watching it. It's not like a Fox where it's like, yeah, I could really watch this race muted and it would be better. I would say he's hitting singles and doubles, and then there's, you know, when racing gets good, he'll hit a home run here and there. So, but no, yeah, I'll eat my words on that and say he's doing a good job.
I think Steve and Jeff Burton, and especially when they were talking about the which we'll talk about here in a bit, the Byron and Dylan deal, like those are two guys that are going to give you the facts. They're going to give you the what's on their mind and how they would do it, whether you like it or not, is up for your own interpretation. No, I think the race itself was good. Like obviously there was you had your moments like the restart where Byron almost spun out, and those restarts were chaotic. You know, guys were fighting for certain lanes, but you could run any lane as long as you had the momentum going for you. It was also one of those that it damn near we our playoffs could have damn near flipped depending on how that played out as well.
Correct. Ultimately, at one restart, Byron did almost get himself in a little trouble. And ultimately, at the end of the race or middle of the race, he did find himself in trouble.
And actually that saved that restart kind of saved him because that's when Cody Ware and Gibbs and all them guys piled up there in turn one and two. Or no, sorry, that was after the fact. I'm looking at this wrong. But then yeah, like you were what we were getting at and where this whole Letart and Burton thing comes into play, it was that incident over in four.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I don't, as Byron said, what you had to wrap the bottom to make speed.
Sure.
So he had to be in the line. Now, the part that I have a hard time with is the crew chief is supposed to tell Dylan and the spotter they're pitting, and he's supposed to run down and give a hand signal to whoever is spotting for Byron to get him off the bottom to get him out of the way. Like, there's too many hurdles in the whole thing to be able to figure it out quick enough that it was going to be a mess either way. Now, on top of the communication, was he also a lane and a half off the bottom of the racetrack? Yes.
Yes, and there was
That's
no hand wave.
the part that I have issue with is when you're half a lane off the bottom of the racetrack. Well, Byron didn't think he was pitting because there's a half a car between him and the bottom of the racetrack. Well, what's Byron's first instinct going to be? Cut the bottom because that's where he was making speed.
Yep.
So, and to be honest, Dylan's probably lucky he didn't have his hand out the window or he got his hand crushed.
Well, no, I'm saying like even down the backstretch.
Well,
Like
that too.
the classic down the backstretch, you put your hand out because you're gonna be pitting. Especially, yeah, one, you're pitting and you're up a half a lane and a half, but you're also pitting off sequence.
Course.
Like
But there.
you know your off sequence. You gotta let the guys that are off of your sequence or at least still running, like, hey, I'm pitting here still.
And that's so again, that was another piece of
Because,
Byron just being so confused. He was 12 laps off the pit cycle.
yeah.
And I don't blame him for that. I just you could tell how rattled after the race Byron or after the wreck Byron was.
Oh, yeah.
Complete loss of words, just utter confusion and just dismay. So again, don't blame them. I don't also think I would
And
label that a racing deal either.
no, I wouldn't label it as a racing deal at all. And you took out a guy that could have potentially won that race.
Oh yeah, he had a car that could have locked himself in a championship race.
And now you get a whole, and I this might be the point where we could bring this up. That flipped the playoff script.
Yeah, I don't really think anyone had Byron blow the cut line coming out of Vegas.
No. We
No.
had the
And
conversation. Go ahead, Cam.
no, we talk about at this point in the year, you can't beat yourself and you've got to, I won't say you have to have a perfect weekend, but at this stage, you've got to have a near perfect weekend. And unfortunately for Byron, like him getting caught up in a squirrel's, not his own doing is like that. That is the frustrating part of the sport. But like this could be the championship ender. That very well could what went down.
Yep.
And I won't beat a whole drum there, but Ty Dillon after in his infield care center interview says he wouldn't do anything different. My spotter says they relayed the information. He said he did the hand wave. He didn't know if down the backstretch. He didn't know if Byron was too far back that he couldn't see it. But he said he would not do a single thing different. And I did see Rudy Fugle did say, like, our communication's got to be better. Like, that shouldn't have happened. Like, that's on our team. But it is hard not to watch that in-car cam and be like, Ty Dillon, why are you a lane and a half off the bottom?
Yep.
And you're what? And then he says, oh, in his interview, I'm just trying to hit my marks and just nail my pit stop. Dude, what are you nailing your pit stop for? 33rd? Like, get that thing on the apron and get out of the way, because dude just cost what, I mean, very well could have just cost Byron a shot at the championship. And that part of this playoff format pisses me off, just to be frank.
Well, all right. You're gonna go down that rabbit hole.
Oh boy, here we go.
So Jeff Gluck reposted this, and I'm gonna bring it up here. So these are using the current point standings format in a non playoff standings structure, I guess I would call it, right? So, like, how you earn points, including stage points, still applies, just in a non-playoff standings format. After this race, Byron and Larson are tied for the points lead in that format. Nope. With Christopher Bell sitting in third, 22 points back. Now, if you went back to the old Winston Cup point standings, that's a whole different discussion. But if you stuck with this, how you earn points right now with a non-playoff format, it's tied.
I don't know.
Either way, I just – Cam, I get your point as well, like, this playoff format was meant to make the battle amongst the playoff guys exciting. And now we're taking an outside influence in altering what is the playoffs.
Correct. It just, which.
Byron, yeah. You said that you had to have near perfect weekend. And I would say Byron had a perfect weekend going up until that moment.
Yeah, he's doing everything you could ask for in that race up to that point. He did everything he could want. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the bad part for me that drives me nuts is that it's kind of a lap car, if you want to call them that.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe it's different if it's Blaney or Logano or someone else that gets run over going on a pit road. I don't know. Maybe. I just don't love the fact that it's only racing for, and as Dylan even said on the radio, well, at least that just put us out of our misery for the day. Like, that's the type of day we're having, and then you take out a guy that's trying to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the part that
the sympathy.
Yeah, like, man, I really wish it wouldn't have happened to the 24 camp. We feel bad. Like, I know that affects their playoffs, but now we're going, well, at least we get to put our piece of crap on the trailer because we weren't very good today. Come on.
Dude, yeah.
And another Chevy driver at that, too, if you want to really.
Yeah, of course.
Another kick in the nads.
Yeah.
So. And now, like, looking at the playoffs here, like, he's 15 back now. Elliott shot themselves in the foot with their speeding penalty. Or no, yep. Sorry, they're up patrol tire.
Yep.
Logano just poor run. Right. And then Blaney with his blown tire.
So on the positive side, yeah, that was the bottom half. On the top half, the guys above the cut, Larson 35 to the good, Bell 20 to the good, Briscoe 19 or 15 to the good.
Briscoe did everything. You want to talk about taking a bad situation and making it good. Came in out and it's looking pretty decent right now.
Yeah, just talk about season and opportunity. He did all of that.
Yep. Also, we're looking at a 3 out of 4 Joe Gibbs playoff championship round.
Correct. 3 Toyotas and a Chevy. Right. As they said. Obviously, yeah. That's change.
They got to go through here yet, but
yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, all in all, the race was decent. I hate we have to have that conversation though. Yep. Blaney's, there's nothing you could do about it. That was going to be what it was going to be. But I don't know, the race itself, I like the strategy. I like coming early. I like having tires be an advantage if you're going to run long or pit a lap or two short or do those things. So I don't know. I enjoyed the long green flag runs, the strategies and setups, and having tires be important. So put more of the race, as we've previously talked, in the hands of the drivers and the crew chiefs calling the shots.
Yep, and we're in a pretty good stretch here as far as races go. Like we had the Kansas race, which again runs a lot like Vegas with the different lines and tires and stuff like that. You know, you could throw the discussion up as far as the bank of the Roval race, but that had a tire advantage to it as well, depending on pit strategy. And then you
Yep.
have this in Vegas. I mean, as far as a strategy and a tire usage goes, you had a pretty decent three race stretch here. You could even throw New Hampshire into that as well if you really wanted to.
Yeah. For sure.
So, no, like I said, I like the race. I think it's perfect where it's at. If I had to pick, I think Kansas, I take Kansas over Vegas personally.
Interesting.
Why?
Right.
I feel like Vegas, or not Vegas, I feel like Kansas is offers more of a deeper run fight for the lead. Like you cars that are set up for the long run can make their runs. I felt like Vegas didn't have that. Personally,
Fair.
am I right in that, or am I talking on my behind on this?
No, I mean it's a fair conversation to have.
I mean, if I'm really gonna pick a race, I think Homestead is the right one.
Yeah, I'd agree with that statement.
But if you're making me pick between Kansas or Vegas, I'd rather take Kansas.
Fair. I can get behind that.
Now you're just getting greedy.
Not?
I'm on probation here. I need to make some statements that get me back in the roster here.
Yeah. So let's just give a quick obviously Denny Hamlin gets the win. He locks himself into the championship four.
Can I add something here real quick about Hamlin?
Yeah.
Well, 2 points here. One, obviously he's got stuff going outside of NASCAR, as he kind of alluded to. Being able to perform in the state of mind that he's in, like the guy's got an athlete mentality, right? I think there's no doubt about that. And I think that showcased that. Two, dude only led 9 laps that race. Talk about striking when the opportunity was there. And also, he said on his post race interview with SiriusXM, but he's like, I didn't think, I just did. And to be able to pinch it between Larson and the wall the way that he did, was a hell of a move. Probably the race
Yeah.
winner, honestly.
I think 2 point, a couple points that is, yeah, obviously he's been not only dealing with a year-long lawsuit that is constantly dragging his attention, time, and energy, but obviously sounds like personal stuff with his dad. But for him to just put that helmet on and get a win, and now we start talking about, hey, that 11 camp. I don't know about you guys, but I'm guessing we're probably going to go about 80-20 now on setups here. Guys, what are we working on? Well, let's start getting that Martinsville car, or let's start getting that Phoenix car ready to rock and roll. The 11 camp, you're 80-20, 80%. Let's get that Phoenix car ready to rock and roll, 20%. And we can start now. We can legitimately, which swing and a miss on all of our part. I don't think any of us had him in the final four.
Nope, none of us did.
We can now ask the question, will he get it done? He's got himself in the position, finally. Now it's going to be, can he
This
finish the
time he wins that title, there's going to be one hell of a party.
Oh, man. The playing devil's advocate here. I think all of us like a little bit of chaos. How does this look on NASCAR's part that one of the owners that you're in a lawsuit with wins your championship?
Uh-oh.
Like, I mean, I just,
I mean,
besides that though, like,
yeah.
we mentioned this, like, is he the favorite? And it's one of those, like, it's hard to make an argument to not be, right?
Correct.
Like Bell's doing okay, but he's not racing like Hamlin is right now.
No.
Briscoe's fighting to get in, and Larson's just he hasn't been the he honestly still hasn't been the same since Indy.
No.
So
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to get wild here.
and I mean, we can talk about this past weekend. Looking at this playoff standings, this weekend, now we got two rounds, but we're only one race into this round eight. And I'll be honest, flip the standings, not in the way I expected. We're sitting here with Briscoe plus 15 to the good.
if he gets out of Dega with that same buffer, I think you're looking at your four.
Dude, and Briscoe won a race at Phoenix with a Stewart Haas car and a bad haircut. And if he can do it back then, Lord only knows what he can do in that 19 car.
He could be dangerous. Hey,
But I mean, I'm
remember.
looking at this and I'm like, this just totally flipped the standings for me. I put the flat tire, the wreck. I mean, I had. Obviously, I had Larson, Bell, Byron, and Blaney in my final four, and I'm sitting here with two of my four drivers. One's minus 15 and one's minus 31 to the good. So,
I got three that aren't in currently. Logano, Byron, and Blaney.
hey, Logano, again, solid finish. I mean, I think coming into this weekend, he was minus 30, 35.
But
So,
I and if there's a track that he's gonna have to pull this off at, I think it's gonna have to be here at Dega.
well, I'm just saying though, this is Daniel. We're going to Super Speedway. He cannot win this race and do some more damage again
Oh, 100%.
and put himself in a spot that he's going into Martinsville minus 10 and give himself another shot to get in with. I think he could point himself through, couldn't he?
Oh, he's gonna need a lot of help.
It mathematically he could,
Correct.
but
He basically needs Bell and Briscoe to have a really bad Talladega race and him to have a really good Talladega race.
he needs those two to wreck out like right away, basically.
Correct.
Mathematically, yes. Statistically, odds, not great.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. Obviously, next Sunday, 2 p.m., we're going to Talladega, first super speedway race. Like it or love it at this spot, things are going to be interesting.
And we're back on the big channel.
Back
On
on the big
NBC.
channel. Things are going to be getting dicey. So, any other final thoughts on NASCAR here?
No.
No.
Okay.
Good
Let's
luck.
get rocking. What's up?
Good luck after Daga.
Oh,
Correct.
I feel bad trying to figure out a race pick right now.
Correct.
Yeah. Let's get rocking and rolling here into some news. No shortage of news this last week, and we are officially approaching silly season. Just about 4 weeks away. So let's hop into some news here. Not sure who's blue, but
That's me.
be my something blue and take it away.
JJ Yeley hopping in the Spire 7 truck for the Dega race. So he is headed to Dega in a Spire prepared truck for the truck race. Speaking of trucks, Tyler Reif, most notably an ARCA guy, he'll make his truck series debut at Phoenix with Nice in the 41. With support by McLaren Transport. So he'll be headed truck racing for a championship race. AM Racing and Harrison Burton have parted ways. Reading between the lines of the statements, it kind of looks like that was Harrison Burton decided move, seemed excited to announce his future plans. So, those two have split ways following the completion of the season. Talking about one making moves, this group is always in the news now with this whole Ram deal. Pat Miller will serve as the engineering partner for Ram and Kolleg as they prepare for their entry into NASCAR. Kolleg has also started posting the job openings that will include those teams, anything from tire engineering to simulation to track support. So, those positions are starting to open up, so we'll start to see some more news kind of in terms of the filling of those positions and creation of those teams. And then last one, this one came yesterday or Monday. Viking Motorsports announces that Matt DiBenedetto will be not finishing the season in the 99. Connor Mozak will race the final three races for that car. With 2026 driver plans to be announced at a later date. So Matt DiBenedetto looking for a ride for 2026.
Following up here with a couple of follow-ups that you had. Speaking of Kolleg Racing, they announced that Brandon Butterbean Queen will be running the final three races in the Xfinity number 11. Obviously, the ARCA champ had a dominant year. You gotta be thinking about whether he's gonna make the jump somewhere. Most
Yep.
notably, that Kolleg team has got about five trucks that they need to fill yet.
Yep.
So yeah.
Speaking of colleague,
What's that?
I said, speaking of colleague.
Yeah. And speaking of Spire, Justin Haley, it was announced that he will not be returning to that Spire number 7 for next year. Rumors are that he might go back to Kolleg, being that he drove through them earlier this year. Again, with who knows what's going on with that program, could go any which way here. So, getting into some NASCAR news. NASCAR's managing director of communications will meet with all teams to discuss race manipulation, stating, "Let's not put ourselves in jeopardy here." So, obviously, kind of talking about some communication that was done at the Roval. We all know what happened at Martinsville. So, yeah, getting to that point. I think one that everybody's been kind of looking forward to, but we got what we've been asking for. Now we'll see what happens. NASCAR President Steve O'Donnell announced on Dale Junior that NASCAR will increase the horsepower to 750 horsepower for every track under a mile and a half, as well as road courses. The mile and a halves will stay the same current package. They touched on a little bit on the NASCAR broadcast. Basically, it's you're going to see tires wear out a little bit more. Obviously, it comes with more power, but obviously, I think what it really came down to is now you got to got guys are going to manage tires a little bit more. So, and then it's been a while since we talked about some lawsuit news, so let's touch briefly on it. The judge overseeing the lawsuit has ordered all parties to participate in mediation. This came after both parties recently asked for a middle ground to come to compromise. This is scheduled to be on December 1st. basically trying to settle before the actual trial comes in. Some other ones I want to touch on here really briefly. Flow Sports is partnering with Circle City Promotions to bring the AMA Enduro Cross to floor racing in 2025. Kyle Larson will serve as co-promoter and will compete in the USAC midget race at Hangtown or at Placerville for the Hangtown 100. I didn't read into it, but there's a new look for the World Series of Asphalt, so maybe we'll touch on that next week. Chase Briscoe, this is kind of a fun one. He's winning and he's put out an ultimate sponsor experience for 350 bucks. Get put in a drawing, sponsor the car. And then as of today, Rinus VK will join Junkos Hollinger Racing for the 2026 season in IndyCar.
You're just full of all sorts of hidden gems today, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of. I gotta be better entering this whole news deal.
Was
Kind of all over the place.
Yep.
I'll take these last couple here, mostly on the dirt side of things here. Zach Mitchell and Colton Farms Racing were handed a 100-point penalty from the Hunt the Front Super Dirt Series after tire testing from Southern Raceway came back faulty, ultimately cost him the title as he finishes 74 points behind Jimmy Owens. Owens, who was only 2 points ahead going into that weekend, so bad time to get caught, and unfortunately, it cost him a title. So, poor dirt tracker, and confirmed with the team, Drake Troutman will return to the GR Smith owned 22 dirt late model again next year, and they will be on the World Outlaws tour again in 2026. So, Troutman staying in that 22 machine. Hudson O'Neill, he finds himself a ride for the Wild West Shootout in January, and he will be running the Rumley 6. So Hudson O'Neill will be hopping behind the wheel of that. And then lastly here, Kyle Bronson rolls out a brand new Rocket XR2 chassis, and returns to the Rocket after a short stint with Longhorn. So, again, guys making some changes here as we finish here, see if they can find something and ultimately maybe build a little momentum going into next year. So,
Gotta remember, speed weeks are in February.
correct.
Off season is not that far away.
Yep. And it's, I touched on it earlier here. We're going to get into, we're into championship season, obviously. And, in a month from now, it's going to be silly season. Drivers, teams, everybody's going to be making moves in every discipline, NASCAR, dirt, you name it. So that news section is only going to get longer here as we wind down the season and get into, unfortunately, already what seems to be the off season. The news section is going to continue to ramp up. So. Kel, we miss any news? I know tire changer here was spit facts, but
Nope. Good to go on my end.
okay. Should be good. Let's go on here and let's get to one of the best segments of the week. Let's give out our Wheelman of the Week award. Not a whole lot of nominees here, so we'll see. We'll see where we go. And I'll take the first one here. We touched on it, about the only positive sports news. Well, Packers and Brewers are positive, but in the racing world, we've been hanging our hat on him. Ty Majeski leads 350 of the 400 at the Winchester 400. Take home his first rifle. Talked on it earlier. Adds just another prestigious trophy to the trophy case. That guy just continues to dominate super late model races. So, Ty Majeski, Wheelman of the Week nominee number one.
I'll take the last one. Oh, okay. Denny locks himself into the final four. All I'm going to say is this the year.
All right. Ron Silk dominates the Thompson race to earn his 30th NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour Series win.
This is so easy this week. Go ahead.
I think I know where you're going, so I'm going to go with it. Majeski.
Yep.
I was gonna give it to Hamlin.
See, and I was thinking about that.
Just because of the move he made to get the lead.
We can give it to him if he wins the title.
Oh.
I mean, Majeski did put an ass whooping down.
He put an ass whooping on these big boy, high money, high dollar operations. He drove down there and said, I'll lead 350 or 400.
Cam, I'm obviously the one that's on the edge here. Make your argument to sway me.
Well, because we haven't really made a clear-cut criteria. Your criteria for Wheelman could be different than my criteria, which could be different than Kelm.
Sure.
All we've really left it out is, hey, Wheelman of the Week is not for stringing together winning three races in a row. It is a week-to-week award. And I just think Hamlin's move there at the end to only lead 9 laps and to ultimately win a race at the most pivotal time of the year. Again, not just thinking, just doing, and putting himself and giving himself a shot to win the championship. I think that's deserving of the award.
I did admittedly say that move that he pulled on Larson to get on the outside between the wall and him was a hell of a move. And then to run Briscoe down and pass him the way that he did. Boy, you're putting me on the spot here.
Well, so that's the thing. Like I said, your criteria for Wheelman might be a little bit different. Do you want one singular move that wins the race, or do you want, hey, just show up, just take it to the field, like pure domination? That's up to you.
I mean, we're witnessing greatness right now.
Yeah.
Hometown greatness.
God damn it.
Don't make me do it.
You've got the button queued up, don't you?
No.
I knew exactly where you're going. You got the button queued up.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to stick with my Majeski. He was my gut instinct on it. I'm going to stick with it.
All right.
Yeah. He is a repeat winner also.
Yes, he is. Yep.
Is a repeat winner.
Yep.
One of Wisconsin's finest. And as always, Ty Majeski, be on the lookout. We'll be reaching out to you. with a social graphic that you can repost to your socials as well. Again, it's been fun doing business with you and giving out this award to you. So Ty Majeski is your Wheelman of the Week award winner. Talked a little bit on it. Championship season here. Anybody want to touch on any new champs?
Yeah, I got a couple this week. As we talked about in the news a little bit, Hunt the Front Super Dirt Series, Jimmy Owens is your 2025 champ this year for them. Arca Menards, as we mentioned in kind of the news again, Brendan Butterbean Queen is your Arca Menards Series champ. ASA Stars National Tour champion Cole Butcher. Driver championship with the owner championship sticking sticking with his car owner in Donnie Wilson. And then in kind of in coinciding within that, that ACRA Super Series, Cole Butcher also won the title for that as well. One we missed a week ago, coming off of Oktoberfest, the All-Star Challenge Series. Brady Bill was the champ for that series this year. And then down to the bottom, the IMSA Sport Car Sports Cars, the Matt Campbell, Matthew Gimnet,
Jiminette.
Jimenez, the Penske number six is what it comes down to. The Penske Porsche number six is your 2025 champ for that crew. There's some new champions for you. We're gonna rattle off a whole bunch of them next week too.
Oh, man.
That will make it heated though.
Yeah. I guess I'll take this one little corner and then we can figure out how to split it up from there. High Limit Series, they're going to be crowning not one but two championships this weekend. One of them actually is tomorrow as we speak here on Tuesday, Wednesday. Their Midweek Money Series. They will be racing at Lucas Oil.
Yep.
Almost biffed it there. They're going to be racing at Lucas Oil for the Midweek Money. Riku Rebru has the chance. He leads Tanner Thorson by 6 points there, Brad Sweet by nine, and then Aaron Reitzel by 12. And then they got their season-long championship battle getting wrapped up at Texas Motor Speedway with a two-banger there. Again, Rico leads the point standings there. He leads Brad Sweet by 30 points with two races remaining there. It's pretty much a two-horse race for this one, which Brad's going for his seventh national championship in a row while Rico's working looking for really his first touring series championship.
Yep. Cam, you want to grab that bottom corner here?
Yep. Moran, wow. Wrapping up dirt super late model season here. Devin Moran leads Ricky Thornton Jr. by 15 points with two races remaining at Eldora. Davenport is 115 back, and Huddy is 365. So feels like we got another two-driver battle here on our hands. But needless to say, you got a two-night show at Eldora, there's somebody I'd put money on to win or be really good at there. And he's currently 115 back. So stay tuned.
Yeah, for sure. All right. This is the part where we need the graphic that's got like the map, and it's got the strings that go everywhere because everything is interconnected. That's how this is going to work here as we kind of talk through this. So Saturday, headed to Dells Raceway Park for their Halloween event. They got a couple classes of racing. You got two super late model championships running the same event. So we're going to touch on kind of the more clear cut one for Live for Five Super Late Model Championship at Dells Raceway Park. Casey Johnson leads John DeAngelis by 41 points and Ty Fredrickson by 43. So I think mathematically, I can't confirm this. I'm going to assume mathematically he has that wrapped up.
I'm not sure.
I'm just going to go it on a limb and go that far because that's 41 positions if you go a point of position. Either way, Johnson's got a stronghold on that. So he could race two races back to back and win two championships. So that'd be kind of cool. And then this is where Van Girl can help me describe this because this is where it gets interesting.
So, well, it doesn't help that Tundra hasn't had a lot of, they had a couple of cancellations of races. So that doesn't help the situation. So, the Tundra series has a rule where you can run it via teams. So, it's the Kendall and Volm team is currently leading it by 2 points over the Cody King and Jordan Devoy team. If
Yep.
I interpret the rules correctly, it's whoever plans on running the most races is basically who the points count for the team. I think Kendall gets that nod. Maybe. I'm going to double check here because it actually might be Volm.
Either way, well,
Either
Kendall and
way.
Bohm are on the same team, but are both entered to race on Saturday. So
Right.
we're working on that. Currently looking at the entry list, Cody King is not. The last I looked, Jordan Devoy would be the one, which he likes racing the Dells, so that does make sense. So we're kind of TBD on what's going on with one team. Devoy will run for his group. Brock Heinrich, he's third in points. He's 19 back. He kind of is. He's running his own deal as his own team. And then fourth in points is that duo of Justin Mondyke and Casey Johnson.
I think it's going to be Bohm running for that team because he's run two out of the three races so far. So this will be four for three for four.
Okay.
I think Bohm will be the points getter for that team.
Okay. So that's how those that's how that conglomerate of four race cars is going to shake out, and you know, when we got one race racing for two championships. So everything is interconnected, and I'll be curious to see how they're going to do the points for all that,
Yeah.
so qualifying and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's kind of how the Super Late Model Championships are looking for Saturday. Let's go ahead and jump into this Midwest Truck Series points battle. You got two drivers separated by 7 points. Greg Griesbach leads Brandon Reichenberger going into the Dells. A 7 point different.
We've
Different.
talked about this for the handful of weeks. It's been as close to the points battle as you're going to get throughout the last handful of races here.
Been that way all season. So now it's we're splitting hairs. I'm just gonna tell you, as we've seen it every week that these guys have raced, they're gonna end up near each other on the racetrack at some point.
It's good. It's literally every lap counts.
Yep.
Qualifying, heat races, and then we're going to be doing the math, burning up paper and calculators as Larry Mack would do, figuring out the points as we run for this championship. So, I'm gonna throw another wrinkle or another one at you here. The Midwest Dash Series is running here as well. It is their championship race as well.
Yep.
Phil Maloff leads his daughter Anna Price Maloff by 33 points, and then Mark Dewey is back by 41 points. So Phil could be wrapping up another championship here this coming weekend as well.
Everybody, lots of championships on Saturday.
I mean, it is for the most part the last asphalt race we have up here.
That upper Victory Lane is going to be busy. Because then you got to remember, you could have a race winner be different than a champion. So that's two visits.
And
Logistically,
then,
they're going to have their hands full.
not to mention, being that it's a day race, we got the party in the pits afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Just kind of as we're talking about it, there are currently, as of today, Tuesday the 14th, 95 cars on the entry list combined for the event on Saturday. So nearly 100 race cars. So that's pretty cool. So wow.
It's going to be a full house. Boots
Yeah.
on the ground as well. Okay, I think the last thing we got to do here is make a race pick for the infamous Talladega. And if my math serves me right here, picking order should be Cam Kell and the Sky. So, tire changer. Let her rip.
I mean, the straightforward one is give me the ride or die.
Yep, there it is.
Laney.
Got mine. I'll take Logano.
Ooh. Just give me 1 second here.
I mean, you might just, you got a better chance just picking a name out of a hat than anything else.
Probably.
Dude, I'm gonna do this, and I don't know that I like it because I didn't put him in my final four. But we're gonna lock a second Joe Gibbs driver in there. Give me the 19 of Chase Briscoe.
Don't hate that.
Yeah, could see it.
Okay.
Any other final thoughts here, boys? As we just made some big picks here. We're in a championship season. A lot covered here. Winchester 400, Cup Series at Vegas, and we got a big weekend up here where we'll have boots on the ground. So, any other final thoughts?
No, I'm looking forward to the weekend ahead. Wrap up the season up here. It's tune in, folks. It's gonna be a hell of a weekend.
Yeah. So lot covered on this episode. Yeah, there's a lot of racing going on here. We are winding down the race season. As we always say, if you got a shot, get out to your local short track, support the final show, send them off with a bang. Yeah, as always, don't be afraid to like, comment, subscribe. Shoot us your comments. We love interacting. And you see any of these pit crew members at the local racetrack, don't be afraid to give them a hard time about how bad they are picking race picks. So, as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see y'all next week for another episode of the Tuesday Track Talk.